This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There's women who get married. They go and they move over to the husband's area, the husband's house sometimes. In many cases, they're living with their in-laws. Some cases, they're not living with their in-laws, but they're living very close to the in-laws. So essentially, sometimes they go from one area to another to live with the husband's family. She's making a massive sacrifice. Now, I'm still trying to figure this out. Now, this is a very village mentality. I'm still trying to figure this out and I haven't been able to understand it, right? I probably need to do a bit more research on this. But in India and probably in other places, and I don't know where else, but this is particularly something I've seen in the Gujarati community, is that once they say that you bring a girl into your family, then she becomes kind of like yours. They don't let her go to her parents' house, which is really ridiculous. In fact, they really frown upon it. They really frown upon it. Now, I can understand that if you're married in London, if you've got, if a family here has brought a daughter-in-law from Batley, Dewsbury, Birmingham, Leicester, whatever, you know, somewhere far, it's difficult for them to keep going back. I can understand that. But obviously, once in a while, they can go. They've got parents. She wants to see them. You know, she wants to see her parents. She wants to see her sisters, etc. Right? After marriage, everybody needs to make some kind of sacrifice. It's very difficult to do the same things that you were doing before marriage, you know, with your friends going out, hanging out with them, whether that be physically hanging out with them or on Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever. You have to start investing in your new relationship. It's very important. However, this is cultural to stop them from going to their parents' house too often. You know, it goes so far that I heard one person saying that when his daughter-in-law goes to her father's house, meaning her parents' house, and comes back and brings some food from there, they don't even eat it. Meaning these in-laws don't eat it. Her in-laws don't eat it. The house that she's now living in, they don't eat it. Basically, the reason why she brings some food back is because she has to come and cook anyway. So she cooks down there, uses their supplies, whatever, and they're fine with it. You know, they're very generous people, they're fine with it. But the parents here will refuse to eat from that food, which is ridiculous. I can understand if there's an issue, but you're making an issue because of some kind of culture. It's ridiculous. They don't allow them to go back home. And in some, you know, like, let's just take another example. Let's take a locally, let's just say that you're married within London. So a family has brought a daughter-in-law from maybe 20 minutes away. Right, 30 minutes away, around London somewhere, for example, within the same city. Now, it's easy to go. Now, one thing where there's an abuse of the system in the other side is where the daughter will keep going back to her family, right? Like every day she's there. And she's kind of neglecting her new family. She's trying to still keep her old life alive, right? In the same way that it was before. She just kind of comes back and sleeps here. Right, or maybe just kind of just about eats it. That's extreme and that's wrong, right? If she's dedicated to this new family, she should make that her family. But this new family should also not stop her from going there. Sometimes what these new families do is they'll allow her to go, you know, there's an agreement that, okay, you can go one day a week if it's local, right? If it's close by, 20 minutes, half an hour away, if it's close by, okay, you can go. You know, like from here to Walthamstow, for example, from here to Forest Gate, from here to, you know, maybe South London or whatever. You can go once a week, once every 2 weeks or whatever. But this culture, it dominates even religious people. It's ridiculous. It's a culture at the end of the day. There's no harm. Okay, if your in-laws are really, you know, if the girl's parents are really bad people, they're going to provoke her against you. I can understand that, but you know what? By preventing her from going, by making obstacles, by making excuses, and not letting her go and kind of making it look bad, frowning upon her, giving her tasks on the day that she should be going there, and the rest of it, you know, however you want to do it, that kind of psychological torment is going to drive her far away. Her parents are going to figure this out, and they're going to start feeling bad about this. That is not the way to create love and affection between two families. Believe me, in many cases where they are allowed to go at healthy, you know, they are allowed to go at intervals and, you know, not like every day they're there. You know, it creates a healthy situation. That's the collaboration of two families. This is like we bought her. She's our property now, right? And we're begrudgingly letting you use it. We're begrudgingly letting you. That's ridiculous. It's not Islamic at all to do that. It should be completely fine to allow that kind of movement, and a person should feel good about it. This is culture. Remember, this is culture to stop them from going. Right? It is, and I've tried to ask older people that why is it, and said yes. You know, the only thing they could tell me, right, is yeah, that is kind of frowned upon, but they couldn't tell me why it was frowned upon. Right, I haven't found an expert on this situation, but this is ingrained even in people who've been in this country for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. You know, it's ingrained and it needs to stop because, you know, we, alhamdulillah, in this country, in India, okay, you can understand that there was poverty, right? Maybe there was poverty, and if you brought, you know, a daughter, somebody else's daughter to your house for marriage, etc., you know, you want to show that you can look after her. So she's not, you know, she doesn't have to keep going back to her family to get things, etc., etc., right? But here, alhamdulillah, everybody seems to be fine. This kind of thought process needs to be diminished. It needs to be obliterated because there is no such thing like this. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to avoid all of these extremes and these purely cultural things that have no benefit or basis. You know, one is a culture that one is a cultural aspect that has benefit, and that is fine. If there's a cultural aspect that has benefit and is not anti-Islamic in any way, shape, or form, then keep it. It's good. It's that is what makes us diversified, and that's what enriches our cultures. But when a part of culture and some frame of mind and some you know some kind of thought process is against is not Islamic, and there's no benefit as well, or there's no benefit in a new context, in a new situation, then you need to abandon it because it just creates resentment. There's no benefit. Girls are not like that anymore to think in that way. So we need to really think about that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand it so that we don't become dhalimeen. We don't become oppressors without realizing it. Right? Because there's even religious people who are doing this. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.